The biggest mosque in Lakewood being primed to be the next Rosh Yeshiva, when ultimately he switched tracks and went Chabad and started getting connected to the Bava Rebbe and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and then ultimately did his own thing. But he wrote that niggun, Lulei Toracha, without Torah, where would I be to play with, out of his love of Torah, in honor of his Rebbe, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood? Of Aaron Kotler. And that was like Rav Shlomo's niggun for Kotler. And even when they weren't getting along so well, but like, they would sing that niggun.
He was on track to become the Lubavitcher Rebbe?
He's on track to become the next Rosh Yeshiva at Lakewood. The biggest yeshiva in the world. He was holding. He's holding the cup. He's learning 30 hours a day, as Rosh Hashanah used to say. A lot of hours.
So, learns 32 hours.
Speaking of learning a lot of Torah, okay, so last week we introduced, we kind of schmoozed out the Indian of Bittul Torah. This week I wanted to make much more source-oriented. Unfortunately, I once again forgot to make enough source sheets, but we have a few.
That was my recommendation
of
this one.
So we're gonna do a lot more Makoyros this week, and Bezrat Hashem, see both the let's say the 15-20 minutes in the beginning to understand what is Bittul Torah, a splattering of sources regarding that, and then take the next 15 minutes or so to see maybe a more expansive understanding of what Torah really is. Yeah? Okay. So the first place that I always think of is even before we interact with the source book, where's the first place where we talk about the concept of constantly speaking of Torah? It is Indian to always speak about Torah. So that would be a good guess, but no, the trick before Yeshua.
Oh, Shema.
Very good. Excellent. Where are we seeing the Shema?
Is there another sheet?
Unfortunately, I didn't make enough. What else do we say? How do we serve Hashem and love Him? How do we come to love Him? What do we do? That's also true. But v'dibar tabam, v'shiftecha v'betecha u'lechtecha v'derech. Speak of the Torah constantly. If you want to come to love Hashem, constantly speak Torah. Right? Wherever you're going. And say that as a way of showing the love of a Kaddish Baruch. I remember I was once on the bus in my Shana Aleph, and I took a sefer onto the bus, and this stark kid comes up to me and says, "It's not lo mechubad. It's not mechubad to learn in a stinky bus." And I said, "I hear, but I have a mocker against you. It's called the Shema. We say, Ubalechta Chavadera. Should learn Torah on your way." He's like, good point. So, I won that battle. So that's definitely a primary source of the concept of constantly learning Torah. Another primary source is in the book of Yoshua. Yoshua is actually the chapter that we read many chayalim read when you get sworn in by the Kotel. I've read this chapter. It's the first chapter of Sefer Yoshua. It's all about fighting for the Jewish nation. And in addition to fighting, it has the concept of not wasting any time. So the pasuk says in the pasuk Chet, Lo yamush sefer Torah zeh mipicha v'gita bo yomam v'layla. Hashem tells Yeshua, this sefer Torah should never leave your mouth. And you should constantly be dwelling and thinking about Torah. Dafka when you're in the army, immersing yourself in the physical world, that's when you need to keep the sefer Torah, constantly learning Torah. In fact, the Gemara criticizes Yoshua that his chayalim weren't learning Torah enough at night. And it is an early makor for the Hezder movement, that specifically when you're interacting with the world, that's the time when you need to learn Torah. It reminds me of the story of Rav Gorin, how when he was running around in 1967, with the Tzanchanim to the Kotel, he was always took his sefer Torah with him and his shofar. Mamish kabbal, crazy stories. So this is Rugoran's mom was living Yoshua's dream. And I remember in the army, we were once standing on line. And sometimes you do push-ups before eating in basic training. And sometimes you just stand there, sometimes for like 10 minutes in the hot sun doing nothing. And I didn't like this. So I took out my little pocket safer one time and I was learning. And my commander, we're just standing there. And my commander says, "What are you doing, Kis Matose?" And I said, "The army has to give a lacha, right? It's the rule." And he was like, "Yeah." All because of Rav Gorin, partially. And he's like, and I told him, it says in the Torah, "Lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha." You can't stop learning Torah. Dafka in the army, you have to learn Torah. And my commander didn't like me so much, but he had no choice but to give in. And that was one of my funny army stories. But later he came to respect, he asked me in Shiloh's. But yeah, specifically in the army, you got to be machbet to learn a lot of Torah. Another source for the concept of constantly immersing ourselves in Torah, this is probably my favorite source because we say it often. And if we say it often, it really becomes part of our psyche. Where else do we talk every single day about the concept of we say it every day. It's our life, and I will constantly dedicate myself day and night to learning Torah. And what's that going to lead us to if we're constantly dwelling and learning Torah? What emotion will we feel once we're constantly learning Torah?
Torah.
We will feel Torah, but what emotion in terms of
love,
right? Love is the answer. Says the Beatles, and says the Torah. If we're learning Torah, we're going to feel God, and God's love. God will never stop loving us, and then we're going to feel Va'avta Hashem Elokecha. Feel God's love through the Torah, and then that we will reciprocate that by love. And Gaval, the Siddur didn't make this up. It's actually based, if you ask me, on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, and how does a person come to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And one of the central ways to cut to loving Hashem is through learning Torah. When a person steigs, the Rambam, the Holy Rambam writes that through learning Torah constantly in this Yomam V'Layla type of way, we will come to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Now the Rambam wasn't making this up, the Siddur wasn't making it up. I could really, there are books and books on sources, but I guess gave you some primary sources. Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos teaches us, Rabbi Hanina Bar Chochinai says, if you're awake at night and you walk alone on the road and you clear your heart for emptiness, this person makes himself liable for life. Mitchayev b'nafsho. Why specifically when you're awake at night, if you don't learn Torah, are you considered culpable?
This is Yomam Belaila. Like, at night you should be learning Torah.
Okay, right? And what's the advantage sometimes if you're late at night? What's the opportunity that lies there?
Tikkun
Chatzis. Tikkun Chatzis, okay, for some of us. What else? Some funny story.
Generally, like, you're sleeping so that you can learn more Torah the next day. But like, if you're awake, then
If you're awake, why waste that opportunity? You're right. The Rambam says the time to acquire a kinyan of Torah is at night, and that's when the chut shel chesed comes upon a person when he's learning Torah at night. But in addition, you're already up. It's a time of reflection, of introspection, and so why waste that opportunity? Use that time to learn Torah, says Pirkei Avos. Yeah. Similarly, an oft quoted source, Gemara in Brachos, but it's all over the place, says, how do you know that the Torah only endures if someone kills himself over it? If your mom is pushing yourself to the brink until I feel like I can't do anymore, then you just push a little harder. Because it says, this is the Torah, Zer Torah, when one dies in a tent. It's an asmachta. But the idea that the Gemara is trying to teach us is that a person can only truly acquire an acquisition of Torah if he is killing himself. He's pushing himself. If he's learning even when it's hard. If he's learning really when he doesn't necessarily feel like it. And experience has shown that sometimes you really need to immerse yourself in that bubble of Torah till it gets sweet. You need to mamish be in it till you almost. And if you haven't yet done this, I really, really recommend it. Go for a 3-day base expedition, or just surround yourself mamish in Torah for a long, for an intense type of time, and you might break something, and you might feel the sweetness. Bezrat Hashem, you'll feel the sweetness of Torah in a way that you never experienced it before. And that's the concept of, if you really want to be a big Talmud Chacham, you want to acquire a Kenyan of Torah, you got to kill yourself over it. Rav Shlomo Goren, who was the chief rabbi of the army, and a pretty busy guy, doing shifts even while he was chief rabbi, he learned 20 daf a day. He had a regiment, 20 daf a day. He must have been killing himself. And that's how he became, that's why we're still talking about him. Okay, a few more sources. We know the famous Pirkei Avos that we're going to talk about later. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Hamalach v'derech v'shona, you're steiging on the way, umafsik mimishnato, and you stop your steiging. What about this beautiful tree? Wow, it's gorgeous. Not a good thing, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Not cool to stop the stagging for the pizza, but
when you're walking, you have to do is you have to realize that looking at the beautiful nature is part of your
problem. As I'm looking at I'm looking at the tree. It's kavod. Okay, so we're going to get to that, but we're not up to the religious Zionist part of the shir yet. We're only up to the Haredi. We're still in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so we're not holding that yet. Okay. Just to go through a few more primary sources regarding the concept of Bittul Torah. So there's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei Amud Aleph in the sugya of Yisurim Shel Ava of when bad things come upon us, and source Vav in the second page. Amar Rava Vitei Amar Rabbi Chizda Imro Adam She Yisurim Bayim Alav. The person sees that afflictions are coming upon him. Yefashbesh Mamasav, do an introspection. Like Mesilas Yisharim says, every night a person should do a reflection. Shenemar Nechapsa Derachinu Menachkoira Menashuva Ad Hashem. Okay, what am I doing wrong? I must be doing something wrong. Obviously, that's only for you, not for other people. For other people, you don't do the introspection. Pishbesh Lo Matzeh. Let's say you do this pishbush and you can't find anything. I'm a perfect person. Yitle Bebetel Torah. It must be that you're not learning enough Torah. Okay? So while this isn't necessarily outright saying that it's a sin to neglect Torah, the implication seems to be that it's certainly something negative, certainly something that we don't want to be a part of. We don't want this bit of Torah because it's going to cause us pain. Yeah.
I mean, I think Torah is essentially teaching you what is good and what's bad. So if you're doing like this, what's like a cheshbon nefesh, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing like this cheshbon nefesh and you can't find anything bad, that means that you're not. I think what this saying is, it means you're not like fully aware of what's good and bad. If you really knew everything.
Uh-huh. If you're really learning the Torah, then you would realize that you're not really perfect.
Right.
You have that beautiful pshat. Nachon. Okay. But Bechol Mikra, we have another idea here of Bittul Torah. You know, being certainly very very important concept. However you explain it. I think Rav Kook in Ayah talks about the concept that somehow when you can either, we all have to experience pain in this world. It's mimarik, it purifies us, it's cathartic. So you can experience that through the sweat of Torah, the stained little lecture in that shir when I really want, you know, don't feel like it. And if that doesn't, that's God's nice way of giving us the pain. Or we can experience pain, real pain. So it's like a way of getting rid of that yisurim in a nicer type of way. That's a nice concept. Okay. The Gemara in Sanhedrin also talks about this concept. Amar Amer, Alum Torah Ve'Inam Alamda Zed Dvar Hashem Bazer. Rabbi Nata Amar, Kol Mishena Mashkiach Al Mishnah. If you're not doing Chazorah over the Mishnah, you're over on this lav called Dvar Hashem. Rabbi Naraya Amar, Kol Shef Shara Lasok B'Torah Ve'Inam Asak. If you could immerse yourself in Torah and you don't immerse yourself in that Torah, that too is considered a problem, a sin. And many of the Mepharshim talk about the concept that there may be even, it could be you're learning Torah, but you could be learning Torah in a qualitatively better type of way. And that too is an aspect of Bittul Torah. So for example, if I'm, you know, if I'm just like putting my feet up and you steig in, you know, with my phone out, and I'm not really, you may be learning Torah, but there's still an aspect of Bittul there because you're not fully accessing your own potential. And some even say that, you know, if you're only learning Torah on a you're learning really easy things and you're not challenging your brain and you're not seeing the full breadth of Torah, that also might have a smacking of Bittul Torah, because you could really be doing a lot more and doing it in a much qualitative better type of way. Personally, I don't think it's necessarily about what you're learning. Meaning it's not, oh, you should be learning this Masechet and he's only learning Steinmaker. I think it's much more about how you're learning. You could be learning Steinmaker with all your heart and really asking every single question on that pasuk. Maybe just be running through it without putting your heart and soul. I think that also is an aspect of Bittul Torah. And I once heard a beautiful pshat from Rav Sala Sabalovsky, Rosh Yeshiva NYU. He says, on Pesach we have a concept of Bittul, right? And what's the idea? You're saying that this Chometz, it doesn't exist to me. But wait a second, it still exists. It's still there on the table. But it's an attitude. To me, it doesn't exist. To me, it's meaningless. So Bittul Torah is not just about physically what you're doing. It's a lot about the attitude, how you approach the Torah. If I'm coming to Torah with an idea of respect and love, then that's not Bittul Torah. But if I'm not showing it the cover that it deserves, that also might be an aspect of Bittul Torah. Okay. Now, all this is in the realm of a nice ideas. What about halacha l'maisa? Okay, we did touch about this on this yesterday. So halacha l'maisa, there is a very famous Gemara in Kiddushin, which is, discusses the age-old question, to act or to steig. Should I spend my day steiging or should I go do action? What takes precedence? So the prime source in Gemara, in source Chet, is Rabbi Tarfon v'Zkenim Mesubin Baliat Bayit. Tarfon and the Zkenim were on a roof, chilling one day. The loot. Nishala Sheila Zubavnam Talmud Gadol or Ma'isa Gadol. What's more important? Steiging in the base or going out and living the Torah? Torah or Avod? Which? Nana Rabbi Tarfon, the same Rabbi Tarfon who says Lo alechem lachag ligmor, life is short, says Masa Gadol, better do actions, more important actions. Nana Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says Talmud Gadol, better to learn. Which I always found interesting, because how did Rabbi Akiva start off beginning of his life? He was a Baal Tshuva. He was doing actions. So he's dafka stressing, no, now it's more important to learn. Because maybe there's a lot to catch up on. He really stresses learning. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon, who's been steiging his whole life, says, you know, it's more important to do action. So that's a fascinating debate. Nene kulam amru. What does everyone say? Talmud gadol. Better to learn. Why? Shet talmud mevi dili maisa. Because learning will lead you to action. Okay? So what's it, at the end of the day?
Paradoxical.
Yeah, why?
Goal
is
to learn, even if it leads to actions. Like, those actions would just be inevitably
to learn.
If
you
learn,
like, that all you're supposed to do is learn.
Right.
But can you say, like,
and that would probably seem to be more the Rabbi Tarfon camp. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also argue is that Rambam talks about a concept of someone who, like, learns a lot of Torah but doesn't do actions. I can't remember what he calls it, but, like, that's clearly not, all your Torah is not worthy if you're not doing actions.
Right, based on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, you're like a tree that's not firm. So I don't think anyone here is saying that you shouldn't live up to the ideals of the Torah, but the question is, at the end of the day, I have 5 free minutes, should I go to the soup kitchen or should I steig? So we have an epic debate here. There's one side saying better to, the learning's only really there for the actions, so better do the action. And the other side saying, no, just it's all about learning. Learning is the lechatchila of life. And the middle is saying, well, really, they're both, trying to make both sides happy. Really, they're both important because learning will lead you towards action. Yeah.
If you have an hour left to live, then you know you won't be doing action afterwards, so should you act or learn?
Good, great question. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you should steig. Right? And according to Rabbi Chaim Yevalazhin, who's a master of Kabbalah, if you've learned any of their works, they put an extreme stress on learning Torah, that you're Talmud Torah connected Kulam, and you're changing the entire universe, and the goal of all of life is really to be learning Torah on a high, serious level. And the Rambam actually often sounds like that, intellectual. And it seems like they would probably say Shtai de Tosfos. Whereas it seems like the others, Makoros here, Rabbi Tarfon and the others would say, well, since the end goal is ultimately action, probably better to do that action. So I'm not going to conclude this age-old discussion. I just want to point out this is even in Talmudic times, this is a point of debate. Yeah?
Let's say you have the option of either learning for the next half hour or bringing someone who's not so close to Judaism, like closer, doing Kirov. It ends up that doing that 30 minutes of Kirov will cause that person to become religious and learn, like, for, their entire life. You're essentially getting twice the amount of learning.
Well, doing that Kirov is probably also learning. You're teaching him Torah, no?
Well, not necessarily. I mean...
Are you just playing football?
I would kind of put it in the category.
Yeah, let's say about the rubber blade chess with the guy.
Right, Rabbi Nachman. So clearly, Rabbi Nachman would be in the camp to say it's more important to do that kiruv. I'll just tell you a funny story. When I was in Shana Aleph, I very often ditched morning seder. Why? Because I was obsessed with kiruv. I worked for like NCSY and all these groups, and the only time I could reach my campers was late at night. So I'd stay up until like 2 a.m. I had like I'd call my campers and I'd learn with them all sorts of random stuff. Then I do Vatikin. I like go the 4 hours later, I daven Vatikin, learn a little bit, and then sleep 3 mornings later, and then wake up like right before shiur and like try to figure out. So until the rabbis called me at it and I was like, that, no more of that. But that was exactly my debate. This is my life debate, to steig or to change the world.
Like, Rob, is that why you work at Yeshiva Kol Torah
V'Avodah? Maybe that has something to do with it. Yeah.
Maybe what you're saying isn't paradoxical. Because you say, like, Torah is not going to come, like, as a result of my, of like Masa, but like Masa will come as a result of Torah, because like the more like you immerse yourself in Torah, like by default, like you like you go out, you take that, and you do Masa like as a like primarily Torah Jew, as opposed to like the other way, like if you're just doing action, like you know you might not remember like the source of the action, so it doesn't have to be paradoxical. It just depends what lens you.
No problem. And then there, and obviously at the end of the day, the answer is going to be a very personal answer based on who you are, what is your situation in life, where are you holding right now. So in other words, where you're standing right now in Shana Aleph, the answer might be very different, because the whole point of this year is mamash to immerse yourself in Torah to the point where you love it and you're flowing, and then your whole life is going to be in this extreme level of Torah. So you might need to lock yourself in that Torah zone, but maybe at a different point in your life, the balance might need to change. And we might need to, you know, have that intense morning Seder or morning half hour of super steiging, but then you got to go to work and take that Torah to the world and help people. And so obviously it's a very personal question, and there, you know, it all depends on the situation. But yeah.
Saying Rabbi Nachman, like, for his masa is interesting because he always, like, emphasizes the importance of seclusion.
Nachon, and Rabbi Nachman also is of the Hasidic Kabbalistic bent that every word of Torah is mom is changing the universe is and extremely important. So no one's saying one's not important or the other in any gadol b'Torah. You know, of course, the question is where do you stress? Where do you place the stress? And that's the question that we're trying to deal with. Okay, so now Adkan for the Bittul Torah section. We'll try to send the recording if anyone wants. Okay. Now, there's an interesting Rambam. Look in source 10. Look at the Rambam blush, and let's see if we can open up the discussion a little bit with this Rambam. Kol Yishmi Yisrael, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Chayev B'Talmud Torah, everybody has to stay. Ben Ani, Ben Asher, Ben Shalom, Ben Gufan, Ben Bali Srim, Ben Bocher, Ben Shaya Zakan Kago, everyone got to stay. Shatash Hashkocha, Filo Ya'ani, make part of this Minnesota, even a poor person. You're going house to house, still to steig. If you look bal isha banim chayev l'kamoa lo zman l'talmud Torah by yom of a layla, day and night, you need a set time to learn Torah. Shenemar yihita bo yom alayla, as Yeshua says. Now, that's what the Rambam says about our chiyuv to learn Torah. What's missing from his hagdara, from his definition about who needs to learn Torah, or when we must learn Torah? When does Rambam say a person needs to learn Torah?
Day and night.
When doesn't he say?
All the time.
All the time. In other words, it seems from this Rambam at least, that is a person obligated to constantly learn Torah nonstop all the time, every day?
Not necessarily.
Perhaps, and there's a Gemara in Menachos, I believe, which indicates like this, it's enough to do a little bit in the day and a little bit at night. Perhaps even Kriyat Shema. The Gemara says you're not supposed to tell Ami Arutz that technically you might be able to fulfill your obligation just by saying Kriyat Shema. So I told you guys, so I assume you guys aren't Ami Arutzim, but don't tell anyone else. Maybe that's what the Rambam is saying here. Now the Rambam again goes on and shows the Mesirus Nefesh, these people, Talmidei Chachamim, that are working and also steiging. Of course the Rambam wants you to learn as much as possible, but it's possible from this Rambam we would assume that it's not necessarily like you're obligated to learn Torah not nonstop. Okay? That might be one way of looking at it. And similarly, the Mishnah Berurah seems to write, Dikra mitzvah Talmud Torah ein lashir v'chiyuvah hu kol hayom. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it's all day, not necessarily like this Rambam. But then he goes on to say, Kiyesh l'panai v'mevatel Talmud Torah, it's like that, all the sources we were saying before, that if you have time and you're not learning, it's Bittul Torah. Hold on. A person has to make set times to learn Torah. From the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that you can't waste any time. But then later he says, what does a person need to do?
Make
a set time to learn Torah. Okay, so the question is, does that mean that I fulfill my obligation by just having a set time? Certainly everyone agrees you need to have a set time to learn Torah, but does that mean that any other time that I'm not learning, I'm being mevatel this mitzvah? Okay, so the truth is, what actually got this this discussion going in my head. When I started thinking about this, I saw a tshuva of Rav Shlomo Avinir, and somebody asked him this exact shaila. Somebody asked him, "Hey, Rabbi, I like playing guitar. I like playing guitar, and I'll be honest, it's not just always for rest and relaxation. Sometimes I just want to chill and play guitar. Am I sinning? Am I obligated to learn Torah?" Okay, that's why he asked Rav Avinir. So if you're a rabbi, what would you guys say? What do you think? Is he a sinner? Does he have to learn Torah? So Rav Avinir said, it's machlokas. He said there are two camps. There's one camp that will say that you are obligated to learn Torah unless you physically cannot learn any more Torah and there's some other mitzvah that needs to be done or you can't breathe anymore. Otherwise, you should learn Torah. There's another camp that says that you should learn Torah as much as possible to breathe. Nobody in the Nazi, you shouldn't learn Torah. But there's a chiyuv to learn a little bit, make a set time during the day, set time at night, and otherwise you're not sinning by not learning Torah. If you play that guitar, you're not a sinner. It'd be better to learn Torah. But that's a personal question, meaning maybe it's not. A person has to know, what am I doing with this? How is that going to change the world? So when I read that Rav Avinir, I realized it seems like there's a machlokas going on here, and maybe it's reflected a little bit in some of the different makoras that we're seeing on this topic. Yeah.
Is there like a camp that would say you should channel that guitar playing towards like Torah by singing Nagunim or writing Nagunim or
certainly if you're using the Nagunim towards Avodas Hashem, we're gonna see many sources that reflect that would be the middle ground. Okay, so that's a perfect segue. Jump into that. So you look in source 3.
You know, source for the first idea that there's like a some kind of people like all the time to be learning unless you physically can't be runners.
I think that's based on a lot of the sources we've been seeing before. A person has to kill himself over the Torah. A person who, on the simple level, if you're learning and you see a tree and then you stop learning, then it's an avera. All these sources seem to reflect the I don't want to call it Haredi, but the intense camp.
Wait, so a specific camp that stresses the qualitative importance?
Of every... I'm saying there seems to be one camp that's saying you need a shteig at every free moment, and another camp perhaps that would say that you need a shteig and make set times for learning Torah, but not necessarily are you a sinner if you don't use every single moment towards learning Torah. Okay? So a few sources which reflect this way of looking at it is look at source 11. We have the Rambam once again. He's getting a lot of press today. The Rambam says, just giving you guys warning, I'm gonna go till 7:15 tonight. Not enough time to fit. We're gonna try 7:12 if we can. The Rambam says one's goal should be to have a complete and strong body, so his spirit will be straight in order to know God. The Rambam's saying you need to be strong. You need to be healthy. And if a person needs that rest and relaxation time and not learning Torah, that's important. Similarly, says the Pelayoetz in Bulgaria, a settled mind is highly necessary for involvement in Torah and service of God. And especially for those like us, orphans and orphans whose heart is absent and any distraction at all suffices to distract us from serving God. And this is before the iPhone generation, so all the more so in our generation. It's appropriate to flee mightily from scattering of the spirit, meaning scattering of his wealth and similar commercial distractions. Better to have dry bread and tranquility than a distracted heart and perpetual pain and fear.
Ooh. Wow.
Sign from Hashem. So in other words, says the Pelayoetz, supported by this Rambam, that what do we all need to do sometimes? You need to chill. And how will that show help us?
It'll give us more sanity for when we want to learn.
Exactly, we need to take a breath. We can't always be learning. If we're always learning, the Torah that we're learning won't actually be able to go inside our brain. And we need to take a break, right? And I even brought in the next, in source Tetvav, some of the benefits of relaxation from the Mayo Clinic. Talking about relaxation techniques. So when faced with numerous responsibilities and tasks or the demands of an illness, relaxation techniques may not be a priority of life. But that means you might miss out on the health benefits of relaxation. Practicing relaxation techniques can have many benefits, including slowing heart rate, lowering blood pressure, slowing your breathing rate, improving digestion, maintaining normal blood sugar levels, reducing activity or stress hormones, increasing blood flow, and on and on and on, better sleep, better steiging. So it's clear nowadays we know, I think it's my wife, nowadays we know that it's important to relax, it's important to chill. Personally, what I recommend is using Shemona Esrei as a relaxation technique, as a breathing time. But not everyone necessarily is able to do that. And breathing and playing music and playing sports and exercising, right? Three times a week, intense sports, is known to make a person happier, and it will clearly make his service of Hashem better. It's just experientially, I think we all know this. Well, I just learned that the thing you get, 10 minutes of intense, like, super exercise works almost as well as, like, 50 minutes of, like, jogging. So just good to know. So last night I was, like, running in my house, going crazy for my 10 minutes, trying to do 10 minutes before dinner every night. It's clear that relaxation and running, it helps us learn better and it helps our avodas Hashem. So I think there's no one who's going to debate that in this generation, to have a clear mind, it's fine and natural and no problem to do things like that. Okay? Because that will help your Torah learning, as we mentioned before. And in fact, Rav Yosef Kari even writes, Shulchan Aruch, if you're in pain or your mind is settled, you're exempt from tefillin. Okay? Why? Because tefillin requires a settled mind. You need to be thinking about tefillin the entire time. Now, don't use that as a heter tomorrow morning to I didn't wake up, I didn't put on my tefillin because lamaisa, we rule nowadays that we don't have such good intention anyway. So, therefore, we do wear tefillin even if we're distracted. But we see the importance of having a settled mind from this Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
Did the Rama agree with him on that?
I'm not sure. I don't remember. Look it up. Lamed Chet Tet. Look it up tomorrow. Look it up when you have a chance. Get back to me next week. Similarly, the Abarbanel says, stand straight with a settled mind, for you just can't grasp the Torah if you're distracted. It's just a waste of everyone's time. So if you need to take a break, take a break. You're not doing anyone any favors. Okay, so that's clear. Yeah.
Are there techniques your rabbis give us to use?
In terms of how to
settle your mind.
That's a great question. Yeah, I would say if you look in, for example, Chovat HaTalmidim, Klein Miskalman has lots of meditations about clearing your mind. And there's Arya Kaplan, Rav Ginsburg.
Doesn't the
person, like I said, I think davening, using Shemona Esrei as meditation time can really help.
doesn't the Mishnah say that the
Chasidim
Rishonim
Mishnah? Shachat, Nachon, Chasidim Rishonim Mishnah, Rishonim Nachad, Kavnin Livam, Lavim, Shabbat. So definitely, there are a lot of sources which can give us some guidance as to how to get that relaxation into our daily flow. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No problem. It's not listen, Chaver, if everyone's got to go, we can do a part three. I was hoping to finish this week, but if you guys... Who has another 10 minutes? Raise your hand. Who's got to go? Okay, so let's 10 more minutes. Okay. Similarly, we mentioned last week, the Halakha of Cook takes us to a whole new level. And Rav Cook says very beautifully in Source Yud Gimel, in all your ways know him, b'chol darchecha da'ehu. One must search for God in everything one does. When praying, focus on the words of prayer with deep concentration and dedicated heart. Don't search for gods in other matters. Don't be in your middle of your Chazarat HaShatz checking the Mishnah Brura. Be focused on davening. Okay? Oops. The Chafetz Chaim says that too. I didn't make it up. I know. So there are some rabbis who do it, and they probably have a heter too. And say it. But in general. When studying Torah, one must realize that God is found in the very act of analyzing and trying to understand each idea. At that moment, God reveals himself in the specific action, nothing else. Just be in the moment, completely there. And finally, when you're doing Gemilu Chasadim, just be in search for God by trying to uncover the best possible way to help one's friend. And this principle is true in all actions that a person does. So I'm going to go on, add on a limb here and say that I think Rav Cook would say that when you're playing sports, be all in playing sports. Obviously in a holy type of way, with smiles and holy energy. And when you're playing guitar, be all in playing guitar. Because that too can be used to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu by doing Ivduat Hashem B'Simcha. And maybe, I think Rav Cook would also include that in that category.
Called mindfulness.
Being mamish, exactly. Focused in the moment. Positive psychology is all about that. Yeah.
Because once on the court and in Israel, this guy, he said, Asher Yatzar before.
Said Asher Yatzar before what?
Like, playing basketball.
Just stop. Yeah, it's a fascinating idea.
It's interesting.
I think he definitely can say it all day with amazing concentration without Hashem's name. But with Hashem's name, it's not a thing.
That was really interesting.
No, it's a great idea. That's why when we did, I used to run the ultimate frisbee here, and we'd always have a Dvar Torah in mid game to say, like, in fact, in terms of wearing a kippah, you know, halachically, whatever. At the end of the day, you should wear a kippah when you're playing sports, because that's dafka when you need the God consciousness. When you're out in the world, that's dafka when you should like remind yourself about it. Similarly, Rav Kook, talking about the art of relaxation, says there are times when a person must learn to relax the mind and not be worried by the obligations of mitzvahs and learning. You gotta chill. One must give oneself. It's a little ironic that I'm cutting into your brief time just talking about anything, but okay. One must give oneself some rest in order that one's soul will grow at its own pace and travel on its own inner journey. And only after this type of Shabbat rest will the soul and strength have the strength to resume its growth with an even greater energy. All the detailed mitzvot will then be fulfilled with freshness, drawing energy from the source of life, says Rav Kook. So, in other words, he's deriving this idea from the concept of Shabbos. Shabbos is a rest, and we also need rest in our life. There's a type of commitment to work that destroys all of one's spiritual powers. On the other hand, there's a type of relaxation that fills the inner world of a person with holiness and strength. This is a secret of silence. There are times in life when you need to be silent, when you need to rest, you need to chill, and that will infuse your Torah learning and your Torah living with a whole new energy, says Rav Kook. Okay, so we see that Rav Kook is opening up our minds to a whole new way of looking at life. That we can use the gray as a way of connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't make this up. We see in the very, very, very famous quote of Rav Shimshon Rafal Ersh, he says, I almost believe that all you homebodies would one day have to atone for your staying indoors. And when you would desire entrance to see the marvels of heaven, they would ask you, did you see the marvels of God on earth? Then ashamed, you would mumble, we missed that opportunity. Well, and this is the famous Rav Hirsch who says, and when he gets up to heaven, they're going to ask him, did you see my Alps? Right. And because he believes strongly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created beauty in the world in order that we can connect to that beauty, in order to use that as a way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, he didn't make that up. The same Rambam that I quoted earlier that said that one of the primary purposes of learning Torah is that it will help you come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What else does he say? What's the other derech to come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through? Through what?
Recognizing
that he's everything. That's true. Nachon. That's more of Chabad and Chassidus, but I'm talking about through studying the world. He's bonenut, through looking at the beauty of nature. The Rambam says when you look at the beauties and the marvels of nature, that's going to help a person come to reflect on godliness and to come to love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the same Rambam. In fact, the Rambam is a good source. If you look in Birkos Kriyat Shema, the first prophet is relating to seeing nature.
Or Chadash.
Right? Amir, talking about the beauty of the sun and the stars. And only afterwards we talk about learning Torah. And it's really a two-pronged method. First, for some people connect through Torah learning more, some people connect through nature more, and you really need both. But they're both valid ways to get towards loving Kadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, says Rav Kook, says Rav Hirsch. Okay, just a few more beautiful sources in this way of looking at things. Teva, I don't know if you have it, this one. But who is the first breastlover? Good pop trivia. Who is the first breastlover in the world who goes out to the fields to schmooze with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? Pop trivia. No.
Yitzchak.
You should leave me.
No, you got it. Yitzchak. But Yitzchak L'suach Basadeh. He goes to talk in the field. Ibn Ezra says, L'lechet bin Sichim. Suach is like Sichim. He went to the field to schmooze to daven to Kaddish Baruch Hu. His first breastlover. Rami Nachman says, when you go to the fields to daven to Hashem, all the field joins in with you in this tefillah. Everyone's joining in with you, and there's a special inyan that the Kabbalists brought in Sfat down to go to daven outside. Personally, I have a very hard time not davening Kabbalah Shabbat outside.
Wasn't Yitzchak the first one?
Yitzchak was the first one, and then I said Yitzchak was the first one. Followed by Rabbi Nachman and the Kabbalist and Svad, who said, you got to go outside, you got to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu by going outside. And in
between... Hush Levi didn't
know. Hush Levi didn't do it too.
Isn't he
Rabbi
Nachman?
True, I'm not going in such chronological order. And even before the Hush Levi, who's really the first dude who's all into this whole connecting to Hashem through nature? Basham was into that, the Rambam is into that, but even before all those dudes.
Avraham.
Avraham, Nachon, perhaps Avraham would be a good makor. There's some midrashim which talk about him looking at the universe.
David HaMelech.
David HaMelech. How about Sefer Tehillim? We say it every day. We're talking about in Rosh Chodesh. Vezat Hashem on Wednesday morning. You guys will be at the Rosh Chodesh minyan at 6 in the morning, and you'll be saying Baruch Nafshi Et Hashem. It's a beautiful, beautiful mimer. It's all about looking at nature and discovering Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What we just say every day? Halu Et Hashem Min Hashamayim. Halu Yekom Alchav. Halu Hashem Ashvereya. Right. David HaMelech is constantly talking about serving Hashem through nature, as is Sefer Shira. It's all about, you know, talking about how all of the different animals are constantly praising Hashem, and how we can praise Hashem through animals. Shlomo HaMelech, Sefer Melachim. He talks about it in Mishlei too, but in Melachim he talks about how we do all the language of all the animals, and he studied the world. And there are sages. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that not only did he know Mikra and Mishka and Gemara, but he also studied the trees and the parables of foxes and the palm trees. And he went out and he really immersed himself in the universe and not just. And of course, you can find all sorts of, both in Hasidic and in Misnagdic circles, sources to support this. The Rebbe of Dover, you know, the guy who mom has changed our lives?
Yes.
So the other of Dover, the first Dover, changed our lives. Magi Mezes said that Rosh Neir Zalman used to go near the pond every day before davening, contemplate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And similarly about Rabbi Nachman in Chayei Ma'aran, it says, in his youth, he would meditate in the field and forest, and when he returned home, the entire world was new in his eyes, and seemed to him like it was different and totally different, a whole different world when he went out and went to the fields and meditated first. And this summer I had this chus, I was in the Alps in Italy, and I had this chus, I got to go out to the Alps and I do like a pre-chakras jog, and it was like the best chakras I had in my life, because I just, like, you're infused. If you guys ever have this chus, just go outside, go to a Gansak, or take a run to Gansak and come back, or even just go outside to the hotel. You feel when you connect to the world, your chakras is on a totally, totally different level. Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kook, we'll just finish with some beautiful, beautiful words. 7:12. Every plant and bush, every grain of sand and clod of earth, everything in which life is revealed or hidden, the smallest and the biggest in creation, all longs and yearns and reaches out towards its celestial source. And at every moment, all these cravings are gathered up and absorbed by man, who is himself lifted up by the longing for holiness within him. It is during prayer that all these pent-up desires and yearnings are released. Through his prayer, man unites himself in himself all of being, all of creation, and lifts all of creation to the fountainhead of blessing and life. Gevalt. So Lemaisa, what we started off with the question is it all about Torah? Is anything except Torah bittul Torah? And the answer is it's an age-old debate. We're not going to solve it in a 35-minute shiur, you know, even a two-part shiur. And I really do think there are different sources, which probably are different camps, which have different perspectives on this issue. But certainly for us, living in the world that we live in, there seems to be a lot of sources which reflect a more open-minded stance, which says that Torah is not merely an intellectual exercise which can only be found in the books, but that Torah can also be found through nature. Torah can be found through sports. Torah can be found through relaxation, and these two can be ways which are part of our Avodat Hashem. And every person just needs to, I think the answer ultimately comes, every person needs to have that personal conversation with their Rebbe, with themselves, to find the proper balance at this particular stage in life. You know, what are my learning times, and when is it okay to be going out and interacting with the world and having friends and changing and bringing that Torah to the world. May we be zoricha to bring the Torah of Hashem to every aspect of our life.
Amen. Amen.